A couple of things before we start tonight. For those of you that are not like Sunday attenders, we at our church do something called Angel Tree, which is we support families who have someone that is in prison over the holidays, and we provide gifts and a fruit basket and some gift cards for them. They have these that just came in today. We picked up our tags yesterday, and these came in today. There's five of them, and gifts are due on Sunday. We bring them back, like wrapped, it tells you what to do. So if any of you are interested in taking a tag or two, I'm going to set them on the podium as you leave. Feel free to take one if that's your bag. So I'm going to preface tonight with the fact that none of tonight's information is mine at all. There's a Methodist pastor who is in the Cleveland area, and her name is Sharon Seaforth Garner, and she loves to do contemplative practices while she colors. She calls it praying with mandalas, which we'll talk a little bit about. But I thought tonight, because she has two books out. One is a generic praying with mandalas, which is using colors while you do contemplative practices. She has another book, but she just came out with one a couple of years ago that is specifically for Advent. So I thought, well, how perfect since we do this service. And you notice we changed the name from Taze to meditative worship. That's so we can do these kind of things too. So I thought we would try it for 2 weeks. We're going to do week one, hope, and week two, love, following this, just to give it a practice and give us something else to try. So that's why it's a little different tonight. And if this is your first time, this is not normally how we do it. It's completely different. So hang with us. 2 weeks from now, we'll go back to the way we always do it. I'll put this also on the podium, just in case anyone wants to look through it and kind of see what it is. What I like when she has her books, she always explains what she's doing, and she gives you scripture and things to contemplate. She doesn't just throw out coloring sheets and just throw them out there and you have to figure out what to do. So it's a great way to add it to your prayer practice in some kind of form that has a process for those that like processes, but also very right-brained as well. All right, so again, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be using contemplative coloring to help us focus and stay centered on our theme of hope and then our theme of love next week. And you can choose, as we go through it, and in your bulletin, I put the questions that are in there that you can choose to contemplate while you're coloring. We're going to go over something else in a few minutes, and you can, I'll let you know you can also do that. If coloring isn't your thing, feel free to just quietly contemplate these, whatever works for you. But I do encourage you just to try coloring. It wasn't my thing, but there is something about when you color, it's very relaxing, that your mind very much opens up, kind of just settles your mind down to then open you up to his presence. So I would encourage you at least to try it. Where are the times where we used to spend time in silence? That's what we'll be doing now, is spending time in silence, but meditating and contemplating with our questions. The message that normally comes at the end of the service, we're going to be doing up front, because what she likes to do in our Advent book is she has a theme for each week that follows the Advent themes, but she also has prayer focuses. So this week is the Ignatian Examen. Next week it is, I'd love to tell you, when you pray for people, intercessory prayer. Thank you. So it's intercessory prayer. So each week she pairs a different prayer practice with it so that you also get to experience something else. So we'll talk a little bit more about the Examen later on. So I wanted to move the message up earlier versus later. So that's the only two big changes. We still have music, we still have communion, we're still going to light the candles after readings and all. Those parts have not changed. So before we begin, I just wanted to go over a couple of points that Sharon brings out about contemplative coloring. Tips, especially for those new to this. Everyone is an artist, because I know how many people you say, I'm not creative, that's just not me, I cannot color, I'm not artistic. Every one of us is. So you just need to trust that you're a work of art created by God, and whatever it is you create, it's perfect. It's a wonderful creation. And when you do this, you have to set aside time in your day to be with God on purpose, right? We do have to set aside time and have to allow ourselves to let go of our distractions to be able to, you know, be in His presence and coloring. Coloring is a great transition to that. Also is setting aside sacred space. Like, this kind of works really well for sacred space, but let's say you're doing this in your home, right? You also want to be able to not be sitting where you're looking at the stack of bills to pay or the dirty dishes. You know, any of those kind of things are very distracting. So create some kind of sacred space, even if it means turning away from the junk and piles to a window that looks outside, right? And you just block everything else out, whatever works. But creating the sacred space is very important. Lines are optional. For any of the perfectionists here that don't like to color unless you can color in the lines, you can or you can't. You can go over, you can not finish it at all, come back to it down the road or years down the road. There is no right or wrong way to color these. It's my kind of thing. And no color is off limits. I had someone ask, do colors mean anything, the colors that you choose? Not to me. I usually just go by whatever one feels good. I like this kind of tone with this. So there is no right or wrong color. Feel free, leave blank spaces. Feel free if, like I've done this before where I hear a word or I get a nudge from Him, I just write it down on my sheet of paper somewhere. I just use it as my collection place. The author just keeps books of hers, right? It's almost like it becomes a journal for her. I have groups of five, for the most part, colors, if y'all all grabbed them. Pencil colors work probably better than gel pens, but if you use the gel pens, just they're gonna smear, so be careful and make sure you don't get it on your clothes. I have extras and what are these things called? Pencil sharpeners, and some extra ones here if something happens and yours all break. Feel free to come join them. And move the mandala around, right? So if you're right or left-handed, you can just move it to get to what you need. And don't forget to breathe. She says a lot of times we forget when we're getting into some of these things that we also need to breathe. Let's just open in prayer first, and then we'll do the first song. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for a time and an opportunity to come together, try something new, expand our horizons, and finding just different ways that we can connect with You and be in Your presence, especially as we go into this Advent season, to be able to help us just find this nice, quiet, sacred time to be with You and to remind us that this is what it's about, is the connection with You. And I pray that each one of us is open to having our senses opened with You to this new ways to experience You and to increase our awareness of where You are. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen. All right, so for tonight, when we practice coloring with mandalas, coloring is actually a tangible way to pray that engages our body, our mind, and our spirit. The design, and the reason the designs of the mandalas are so simple, is because if you've ever seen the coloring pages that are really small and intricate, it's stressful to color those. So when you notice a mandala, there's a lot of wide space so that it's not stressful. And it allows us to become more relaxed and prayerful. And when you color, you actually take yourself from your head and into your heart by using your hand. Praying with mandalas is contemplative. And the reason why we want to practice contemplative prayer is that we're seeking to create this sacred space to be with God in stillness. The circular mandala designs, they're a visual reminder to center ourselves with God. So every way when she designs them is with a purpose. It creates a sacred space to hear His still small voice amidst all the endless noise of the world. When we turn inward to seek then God's presence in contemplative silence, solitude, and stillness, we're then better able then to turn outward and face the world around us, but also to actively care for God's people with compassion and peace and mercy. finding an avenue for prayer that we can actually find enjoyable, that doesn't get old for us, is really important, because prayer is the most important thing that we can do. We need to find different ways that might help us stay engaged with it. And coloring while you pray is just an option that might help you and you find enjoyable. So our first week of Advent, we focus on hope. Hope is our belief that God can bring beauty amidst brokenness. Like the author says, a kaleidoscope. If you ever look in a kaleidoscope, all the stunning patterns that are created, they become visible when the light shines through all those broken pieces of glass that are contained within. So during Advent, then we want to slow down, and we want to let the candle of hope then light our way forward. We step faithfully into each new moment because we believe in the promise that the light of the world is coming and the darkness will not overcome it. Emmanuel dwells among us to share both in our moments of light and our moments of darkness. We're never alone. There is nowhere we can go and nothing that we can do that will ever separate us from God. No matter how dark or lonely or distant we may feel, we seek to open the eyes of our hearts and claim the hope to which we're called. Hope is the radiant light of God beaming both upon us and then within us. Hope, it's gritty and it's real. It's tenacious. It's the willingness to wait for the light even when we're plunged into darkness. Hope is saying, I'm afraid. I cannot see you, Jesus, but I trust that you're there. Advent is one such time of waiting. God loves us so much that God sends his son Jesus to be a beacon of light. God weeps with us when we weep. He laughs with us in our joy. He aches with us in our loss. He celebrates us when we thrive and stays awake with us through sleepless nights. We are never alone. Hope is the promise that the light of the world will be with us to the end of the age. We may have eyes to see. One way to slow down and open our eyes to the light of the Christ child is through the spiritual practice of contemplative coloring. Coloring has a way of centering us, of helping us be with God, helping us to be still and open our eyes to see our heart of hope. During this busy time of year, how can we see the light of the manger beckoning us to draw closer? How can we stay focused on Jesus? We must commit ourselves daily, maybe even moment by moment, to choose hope over despair. We pray for hope and the ability to keep that hope at the center of our lives. Keeping our eyes open to hope as part of our daily living, it can be challenging, but it's not a new challenge. A well-known saint from centuries ago, he's like 1200s or so, he's like way far back, 1300s. Once you get a few hundreds, it doesn't matter after that, but goes way back. He struggled similarly to us in current day, and so he developed this prayer designed to help us stay focused on hope and to help us see God in all things. So Saint Ignatius of Loyola, he felt that looking intentionally for God's presence throughout our day, in our everyday events or of our ordinary lives, would draw us into a deeper relationship with God and offer a clearer vision of hope for our lives. Through his experiences, he had a lot of them because he struggled quite a bit, but through all these different experiences he had in developing his spiritual formation, he found that the daily examen was the most beneficial one for him to stay close. And he calls them check-ins, like daily check-ins with God. And that was most meaningful for him. So what we do when we do the examen prayer is we review the specific events of our day, and we do that to prayerfully reflect on where we saw or didn't see God. And let's insert here, without judgment on yourself. Right? We're just truly doing this to look at ourselves and how we can grow and become different where we need to be. And we need to do that from a place of a non-judgment stance. It's a simple prayer. It invites us to open our eyes to God every single day. It keeps us focused on the present rather than dwelling on the if-onlys of the past or the what-ifs of the future. It's just a way of us looking at where we are right now in this day. There's a lot of versions of the examen, so I'm sure some of you that are familiar with it, you've seen different ways that they present it. What the author has found most helpful is looking at the prayer as four movements or steps. And on the back of your bulletin, I printed these for you so you could have to take with you. The first one, Emmanuel, God with us. You begin by remembering that God is with you always. There's no time, place, or circumstance in your life where God is not present with you. Bask in the light of God, which shines on, around, and within you. So that's step one. You just take time to do that, to rest in his presence. Then step two is gratitude. You give thanks for moments today when you felt most connected to God. You review the events of your day. You celebrate the specific moments where you saw God's light most clearly. You express gratitude for those sacred moments, and you offer God these simple words. Thank you. So we'd focus on what neat things happened today. And we were talking about that in the Bible study today, different ways that we just see God's presence. And we started talking about hearts, because Jessica Van Leen stopped in today, and she's all about seeing hearts out in nature and everywhere she looks. And so we started today swapping our heart stories. I had a terribly bad day. I parked in the parking lot several months ago, stepped out of my car, and in the pavement, you know, that pavement, there was a dusty heart, literally within steps of my car. There was a heart. I was horseback riding in the Carolinas last month, and we're riding along, and there was a cut-off tree about this low, and I'm looking, darn if it's not a heart. So I said, whoa, got to back up. I circled the horse back, tried to get it to be still enough for me to like take a picture of this heart. So it's about being aware, right, and seeing God's presence in our day. Then number three is growth. Seek to grow from the moments of your day when you felt least connected to God. Review the events of the day, prayerfully reflect on the specific moments where you struggled to see God's light amidst the brokenness within and around you. Confess that you don't always live as the person that God hopes for you to be. Embrace these moments as opportunities for growth and offer them to God with these simple but powerful words. I'm sorry. And so we have to look at our day and kind of look how we showed up and maybe where we need to show up differently going forward. And number four is hope. Look toward the coming day with hope. Expect to encounter God in the specific events that lay ahead. Envision God's light shining through the broken places and illuminating the sacred beauty in all things. Stay centered in hope, and the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. So the examen, it calls us to divert our attention from like the distant view and to focus on that which is like right in front of us. Through the examen, we look closely at the details of our day, which requires courage. Because sometimes we might not like what we see, but we need to have the courage to see it anyway. The examen offers us a way to look for God right where we stand, in both the good and the bad, and to realize that God is present with us in all of that. Hope empowers us to step out and look closely for God in each moment of every day. So some days, hope can feel as solid as the earth beneath our feet, but at other times it feels as elusive as this fading mist. It's just, where is it? But the more we search intentionally for that hope, through practicing the examen and contemplative coloring, or whatever spiritual practice that is works for you, the easier then it becomes to find hope. Hope is the bulb we plant in the darkness, believing that it will burst forth with new life when the light begins to reemerge. Hope is the sunlight shining through and lifting a dense fog. It's the belief that physical suffering will one day cease, that chaos will eventually fade, that we can conquer our fears versus boldly stepping out into that new thing. Hope is having the audacity to work towards peace even in the face of violence and war. It's a persistent belief that against all odds, God's light shines in the darkness. Hope is daring to believe in the ultimate power of God's healing amidst our deepest human woundedness. We're all wounded, all of us, physically, emotionally, spiritually. However, rather than allowing these wounds to become our focus, we choose to hold hope at the center of our lives. The beacon of hope shines before us in the first candle of Advent. We gather around the manger today full of hope. We do not deny the real pain, worries, and fears of our daily lives, but we choose to center our attention on God's healing light of hope rather than the darkness of despair. We wait for the light of the world, the Christ child who brings hope to the hopeless. healing to the wounded, release for the prisoner, and recovery of sight to the blind. Let us pray as we move to our time of contemplation. God of hope, as we color the mandalas and practice the examen prayer, help us to be still and to stay centered in you. This Advent, may we see the beauty amidst brokenness and hope amidst despair. Your light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Shine your light on us and through us. May we have eyes to see. Amen. So as we spend our time then in silence this evening, feel free to contemplate the questions that are listed in your bulletin. I'll have a scripture that I'll read, and then we'll move into our times of silence. You could also work through, if you like, the examen on the back and look through that as you contemplate. And it was interesting, she included a way to use the examen prayer with this particular mandala. She says that there are actually four concentric layers to the mandala that you're coloring today, just as there are four stages. So the center then, you work from the center out. You begin with the rays of the star that extend throughout the layers of the mandala as a visual reminder that God's light shines through your life. Then as you move from the center outward, the next layer includes six flower petals, each containing a single flame. The flame in each petal symbolizes the clarity brought into your life by God's light. Then the third layer of the mandala resembles stained glass, and it symbolizes the way that God's light shines through the broken pieces of your light and creates something beautiful. The fourth and outer layer is made up of 24 flames, one for each hour of the day, that encircle the exterior of the mandala to symbolize the light of hope that shines into tomorrow. So if you choose, you may use that as a way to look at your mandala. All right, our first reading for tonight, and our readings tonight come from Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 19. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light, until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is, the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. As you begin your time of silence, we pray, God, help us to be still and centered in you during this time of contemplative coloring. our second reading. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until the experience, the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is, the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. Forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the prayer bench to receive prayer and anointing for you or another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or an offering, you're welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle, take communion, or exit the worship center. Our final reading tonight. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is, the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you.
Jesus gives us hope. Hope in the midst of darkness. Hope when we face the unknown. Hope as we go out into the world. Jesus lived among us, and he taught and he healed and he gathered in community with his disciples. He gathered with them on a night when he knew he was going to be arrested and tried and crucified. And he took bread and he gave thanks to God. And he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here. And all these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory, we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and slightly dip it in the cup and receive both elements at the same time. We do have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I'll invite Becky to come forward to help me serve, and then you all are welcome to come as you will.
Reminder that if anyone is interested in an angel tree tag, I'll put them out there. And I also have extra contemplative coloring pages if you want to bring them. She had one for each day during for each hope. So hope has 7 days, and each one has a different scripture at the bottom. So feel free to take one or two extra ones if you'd like to take them home. Let us close in prayer. Gracious God, light my path as we journey with Mary and Joseph toward Bethlehem. Open the eyes of our heart and fill us with an awareness of your presence in all that we do, all that we say, and all that we are. Encircle us with your light. Whisper to us in the silence. Slow us down and allow the candles of Advent wreath to light our way.